Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
We had to pretend to be buyers of these parts. And so some would say, well, you're lying.
I think that undercover work is actually fundamentally different from lying, because the purpose of undercover work is actually to serve the truth.
Coming out does not require as much courage as is required by a person who says, you know, I feel same-sex attraction, but what I want to do is not act on it. What I want to do is live up to my church's teaching.
All I know is that I'm died for by Jesus. I'm baptized and I'm forgiven. And God, I am the possessor of God's promises and his kingdom and his spirit and his life. And that is who I am. So I don't have to love myself. Jesus loves me.
Wisconsin snowplow drivers love Issues, etc.
We sometimes use these words interchangeably. For those who know the word catechesis, it is it's derived from that word catechism, which simply means it's a Greek word for teach, right? And so teaching and education, catechesis and education, sound like they are exactly the same thing. But should we regard them as exactly the same thing? After all, one can be educated, that is, even taught, without being properly catechized. So there's something else going on in catechesis, and yet education, Christian education in particular, Lutheran education, really cannot proceed and credibly call itself Lutheran without that catechesis, that Christian instruction in the faith. We're going to be talking about Lutheran education and catechesis as part of our National Lutheran Schools Week series on Lutheran education. Pastor Peter Bender will be our guest. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We are coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Pastor Bender, Dr. Scott Murray joins us. We'll be talking about Arminianism, that is decision theology, Lutheranism, and God's law. He's author of the book Law, Life, and the Living God. You can join us for the next hour with your questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or use our Issues Etc. comment line anytime you're listening, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about Lutheran education and catechesis, Pastor Peter Bender, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. Peter, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be with you, Todd.
Sort that out for us, because we sometimes use education and catechesis as interchangeable terms. Are they exactly the same thing?
No, I don't think so. Catechesis is God's way of converting the heart of a sinner. It involves the proclamation of the law and the gospel, the call to repentance, and the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins. And it involves a very real encounter with the Word of God, in which a person comes to know and understand and really believe in their need for Christ. At the same time, then, Christ is proclaimed to them, that his forgiveness and mercy and loving kindness is offered to them as a free gift of God's grace, that Jesus died for them and shed his blood for them, and that his suffering and death is their righteousness that covers their sin. So catechesis is at the heart of it, it's concerned about conversion. And conversion happens in no other way than by the Word of God. As our little catechism says, I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. So catechesis is the work of the Spirit. Now, education is something that we are very much, as Lutherans, concerned about promoting for the sake of our vocation, for the sake of demonstrating the mercy of God to the world and loving our neighbor. And so Luther would say in the Large Catechism under the Fourth Commandment that we Christians should spare no expense in giving our children a solid education, in the core disciplines and humanity so that they can be of service to their neighbor. And so this becomes faith in Christ, then active in love to the neighbor. And so then we've got to know things like mathematics and history and literature and science and so forth so that we can be useful in the vocation to which God has called us in the community and so forth.
So these are complementary things, but the core, the thing that makes, since we're talking about Lutheran education, the thing that makes Lutheran education Lutheran is the catechesis.
Correct. And when we take that out of our schools, they become private schools, which is a concern that I have and a warning cry that I have for our own Lutheran schools. And we've got some Lutheran schools that have tuitions that are approaching $7,000 and more a year, and there are no tuition breaks, there's no financial aid. That's what it is. They can become elitist schools. And then you go into some of these places, and we claim that our Lutheran schools run by parishes are there for the mission of the church, but then we take out of them the very thing that does the mission work, namely the Word of God and the Gospel of Christ. So it used to be in our history that we expected non-member families the parents to come to adult catechesis if they were going to enroll their children in our schools. And we shouldn't apologize for that. We should recover that kind of practice and have vigorous catechesis so that in our post-Christian age, when marriage is under attack, family is under attack, there's a disintegration of our culture, we've got parents who don't know how to be parents. They don't know how to be husbands and wives. That's a component of catechesis, too. And our Lutheran schools would play a vital role in the mercy and charity they show to the community if they put their faith in action by actually not only teaching the children, but teaching the parents of those children what it is to be parents and what it is to be in marriage and how the gospel of Christ is a vital word that shapes the reality of their vocation and calling as parents and as husbands and wives.
You're really talking about, I mean, listening to you there in that last response, you're really talking about what Lutheran schools are for, what Lutherans bring to the task of the school that cannot be in the same way provided in any other way elsewhere. And perhaps, am I overstating it, that really Lutheran congregations have no business running schools if they aren't going to catechize the students?
You're exactly right. And they have no business running schools if they're not going to catechize the parents. Todd, it doesn't take a lot of research to realize that if schools don't have the support of the parents, they're vastly limited in what they can do in educating those children. But when they have the support of the parents, they can teach. You take this over into the area of Lutheran schools and the area of catechesis. It's why we need to make parents the target of our catechesis in our Lutheran schools. Because if we have the parents, we will have the children, and we will be able to catechize the children as well as educate them to be responsible, God-fearing, contributing citizens in the society.
Okay. There you have essentially talked about what Lutheran schools are for, why they are for. And this is something, just to kind of talk about it just a bit historically, we did the history previous in this week, so we don't have to go into too much detail. This has been the understanding, the Lutheran understanding, of why educate from the very beginning, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And as you caught right from the beginning of our conversation, these two things go hand in hand. You know, the catechesis that's concerned about conversion and proclamation of the gospel that brings about faith in Christ and that nurtures that faith has then its corresponding fruit of loving service to the neighbor, which all of the disciplines associated with a good humanities education, as well as education in the arts and in the sciences, contribute toward a Christian who believes in Christ living in loving service to the neighbor. And it's a wonderful and joyful opportunity that's laid before us, and that we should celebrate this week and return to and seek to reform in our churches that have schools and in in congregations that are contemplating having schools. Why is it worth it? I think Lutheran schools are more necessary now than at any other time in American history. Just because of the disintegration of the culture, we, in this post-Christian age, we no longer have assumed kind of Christian understandings about marriage and family that everybody in the culture holds to. Now we've got same-sex marriages, or we've got children having children. We have parents who have no clue on what it really means to discipline their children and to love them. And so this is the challenge that's before us, but also the opportunity and how our Lutheran schools can really be of service to our communities as well as our congregations in a way unlike they've not been before.
It should go without saying, Peter, but sadly, even today in Lutheran education circles, it doesn't. But doesn't catechesis require a catechism?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because it implies text. In fact, the Greek words upon which this idea of catechism is based all have this idea of echoing God's language. Speaking back to him what he has spoken to us. We're talking real words, real text. And so, Luther's Small Catechism, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and then those foundational texts and promises related to the sacraments, they have always been part of the Church's catechesis to a greater or lesser degree. It's ebbed and flowed throughout Church history, but in the early Church, to teach the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, this was essential to catechesis. It was considered foundational. And Lutheran schools take up that task. And it's a real text, and text that is directly anchored in the Word of God and then an exposition of the Word of God. And that's what Luther gives us in the Small Catechism. And our Lutheran schools and those of a classical bent rightly emphasize a word-for-word passing on of that text and learning texts by heart and so forth.
Why is that? I know this is a subject that you are very passionate about. But why is it that, because someone's going to say, look, the catechism's great, but we can get the same stuff in a different form. Or why would we have to use the Small Catechism? Couldn't we use some other text to instruct in the same matters? Why is it so important that the catechism be the text of catechesis?
Okay, if I'm, listeners to issues can be non-Lutheran as well as Lutheran. If I'm talking to the broader American evangelical or Christian world, I want to emphasize that the catechism is not Luther's. It's the Church's Catholic catechism. Catholic is in the sense of the universal faith. The Ten Commandments are God's Word. The Lord's Prayer is God's Word. Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father. Those texts on the sacraments all came from Jesus, his mandates to the Church. So this is not idiosyncratic for Lutherans. It's a Catholic text. Secondly, for Lutherans, I would say that the expositions of those texts that Luther put together of the Church's Catholic Catechism are not only deeply biblical, and not only do they breed the language of the Scriptures, but we as Lutherans, you and I, took an oath, and our congregations swear to this in their constitution, that the teaching and preaching and the confessing of the faith and the governance of our congregations and so forth rest upon the Lutheran confessions because they're a correct exposition of the Word of God. And the Small Catechism is one of those Lutheran confessions. And you read the preface of Martin Luther in his Small and Large Catechisms, and you see how he emphasizes word for word. And why does he do this? I'm convinced that in part he does this because as a monk, he learned from God's Word in praying and learning by heart all of the 150 Psalms in Latin, the power of the Word of God when it is heard and received and believed. And so you got Psalm 1 right off the bat. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The Torah of the Lord, not just the commandments, but the commandments and the promises, the Word of God, it's life for us as Christians. And we as Lutherans, especially confessional conservative Lutherans, make a big deal about saying that the Bible is the inspired and inerrant Word of God. And then we deprive it from people by not promoting learning the Word of God by heart. The Catechism is like a composite of the Scriptures. It's the most necessary summary of the Word of God, and it contains the Word of God word for word, as well as expositions that faithfully preach the Word of God. And that's why we learn it by heart. It has the Spirit works through the Word, and apart from the Word, the Spirit does not work.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on Lutheran education and catechesis, part of our National Lutheran Schools Week daily series on Lutheran education. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn by heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're talking about Lutheran education and catechesis. The general subject of Lutheran education during National Lutheran Schools Week, part three of a daily series we're doing. Pastor Bender, so we have this text that enters the classroom, and someone's going to say, okay, what you're really just talking about is the religious education course. You're going to have math, you're going to have English, you're going to have history, you're going to have PE, you're going to have lunch, and a couple of the subjects stuck in there. And then in the course of the week, you're going to have a class for this subject here, religion or doctrine or the Christian faith or whatever it may be. Is it just that?
No. In fact, it's counter to what we were speaking about earlier, the difference between catechesis and education. And that, in fact, I would favor that there isn't a religion class in that sense at all, not as an academic subject, but that there is daily prayer, daily chapel, daily prayer at the close of the school day when the teacher reads the scriptures and recites catechism and sings hymn and discusses the faith, where everybody, where the A, B, C students are all sitting at the same table. And there's not a distinction made, I got a D in religion because I'm not as smart as somebody else, that the language of faith is received as a gift, and we allow the Holy Spirit to work when and where He pleases, where that gift is heard and received and believed. The other thing it misses is that for us as Christians, our faith and our religion is not compartmentalized, but it permeates everything that we do, so that the life of prayer, the hearing and study of the Word of God, the singing of the hymnody and the liturgy of the church within our schools, then is taken over into other subject areas, like science, like mathematics, which is a beautiful gift from God, and that we begin to interpret the humanities and what's happening in world history in light of what the Scriptures say. And we can bring a level of understanding that is really from God and unlike any other editorial on current events or world history or human affairs. And so it's not just a compartmentalized religion class and not religion as an academic subject, but the life of faith and the Word of God that is carried into all subjects. And I should say, you know, before we leave the subject, because I know we're only on for a few more minutes, but I had mentioned earlier to you about some of our schools are becoming like private schools with excessively high tuitions, and then there are simply no breaks for those who can't afford that. It becomes a school for the gifted. It becomes an elitist school, and no longer grows out of the understanding of our churches, church schools as missions. And so I think we ought to have tuitions. I think we ought to have creative financial development. But I also think we have to have congregations that are willing to invite in from the community those who really need our schools, the underprivileged, the downtrodden. They need our schools both for the gospel of Christ first and foremost, and then for what we are able to give them. And if they can't afford it, we need to have the kind of financial aid in our congregational schools that enables them to come in. That would really be putting our money where our mouth is in terms of the mission of the church. But we have got to keep the gospel and catechesis as a part of that for the parents and for the children in our schools if we do that.
So this is, you're really talking here not just about what the church may delegate to a parochial school, but you're talking about, and there is a tendency nowadays among some Lutheran schools to kind of put a distance between school and church, not only for theological reasons, but even organizational reasons. You're saying that's sounds like a bad idea.
I think it's a very bad idea. I mean, we don't have a unified budget here, but that's only because it helps us to account more accurately with where our monies are being spent. But we have a financial aid program for both member and non-member. We have an endowment fund that is able to be used to help needy families, whether they are members or not, attend our school. And I had a mother say to me just today, I've gone all through my life with these various problems, and I never could trust that anybody truly did care until I came here. And I know you care because of how you've opened the doors to us and what you have done to help me and to help my family. And that's in the context of our school, which was the avenue into the congregation. And, you know, providing tutoring. We provided free, no-cost tutoring for those children who have come in, you know, second, third, fourth grade. They're way, way behind in subjects, and they need that tutoring not only to catch up academically, but to be cared for, and so that they don't fall through the cracks the way they weren't cared for and the way they fell through the cracks in a public school setting and where they were just a number and where no one seemed to care about them.
I want to ask you about something else. My wife actually raised this with me last night. You know, we've got a, I serve as a very, very assistant pastor at a very typical Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation in terms of its size and its makeup. And so there's no school attached. That's probably not in our future at any point, at least, you know, foreseeably. But we do have a number of families that homeschool in this congregation. And my wife said, why don't we regard them as, you know, part of the ministry of the congregation? Why don't we say something about these, since it's Lutheran Schools Week and Lutheran Education Week, why don't we say something about these families that every day, day in, day out, put just as much effort into education as do those who have brick and mortar schools? What are your thoughts there?
Absolutely, Todd. And I've got just the place that has materials to help the homeschooler, to help congregations provide that. The Concordia Catechetical Academy, I would say the materials that we produce, I should ask Deacon Gatchell the exact percentage, but I would say it's at least 50% of our material are used by homeschoolers and the other 50% by congregations that have schools. And I think also in this vein that a congregation like yours, if actually having a school is not in the future, you still have opportunities in your community with the homeschoolers of your own congregation to provide some support during their school day or in the what would typically be after school day for a public school setting. But then you also have the opportunity as an act of mercy and charity in the community. You know, we run things like there's food banks and clothing banks that our congregation sometimes participate in. Why not invite troubled families, struggling families with parenting and children who need extra tutoring? Why not have some sort of a tutoring service that is run by volunteers and an after-school program in our parish that also has a little catechetical component in it, and that our Lutheran congregations would care enough to offer that to the community? Again, it's just, we're talking about a post-Christian age in which there's the disintegration of marriage and family, and we have the opportunity, as President Harrison of our Missouri Synod says, to reach out in whatever community that we are in acts of mercy, and this can be one of them.
A touchy question for the end here, and that is, if we're really talking here about catechesis being pervasive in Lutheran schools and Lutheran education, should we optimally have Lutherans as teachers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't teach what you don't know and what you don't yourself confess. So our Lutheran schools, our Lutheran elementary schools, our Lutheran high schools, they ought all be Lutheran teachers who subscribe to the Lutheran confessions, who swear to teach and preach and catechize in everything that they do, nothing that's contrary to the scriptures and the confessions.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. You can find out more about the Concordia Catechetical Academy, and I urge you to do so, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Peter, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Scott Murray. He wrote a book some years back called Law, Life, and the Living God. We're going to take up the subject of Arminianism, which is decision theology, Lutheranism, and God's law. That's the last half hour of Issues Etc. live this Wednesday, January the 27th. Stay tuned.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Greetings to you from the heart of Texas. I am Pastor Mark Knuckles, the senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and School. We are the LCMS Mother Church of Austin and are situated just blocks from the University of Texas. Liturgical in worship and confessional in teaching, we are a dual parish with the only Lutheran deaf congregation in the Austin area, Jesus Lutheran Church of the Deaf. Come see what God is doing among us through His Word and His sacraments.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.